T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I don't think Evan and I have talked to Coach Judge yet, but he joins us now, so it'll be a pleasure to have him on for you New York Giant fans. Joe, it's Craig Carton and Evan Roberts here in New York City. Good afternoon, and thank you for the time today. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Good. Congrats on the draft. I know everybody comes out of the draft thinking we got the guy or guys we wanted, and you know the team will be better for it. But if you don't mind, for Giant fans, give them just an overview on how you view this draft and why you thought it was so successful.
Yeah, look, I think it's like any draft. I mean, you talk about success of a draft, I mean, you really don't know for another 3 years down the road. You know, we talk to our guys all the time. Our team's really more affected by free agency at this point than the draft itself. All these players have to come in and develop. Are we pleased with the guys we have the opportunity to work with? Absolutely. I think every team feels undefeated after the draft. Everyone's been looking at a board, and obviously they call the name of somebody that they like. But we're pleased with the guys we have to work with. We, you know, obviously added some guys on the defense coming to compete, you know, for some outside linebacker spots, some pass rush spots, you know, corners to help in the coverage, you know, offensively being able to add, you know, another receiver to the group. You know, all of our guys are different, so there's no carbon copies of each other. We'll move them around and be inventive what we do with Tony. And then at the same time, you know, getting the running back is going to help with the running game, you know, and Gary also does a good job in the kicking game. So we were able to add some guys to this class right here to come and compete with our guys, but, you know, we definitely feel good about them.
Talking to Joe Judge, just tell us about Kadarius Toney. Was not a household name to the average Giant fan. Of course, they know a guy that wins a Heisman Trophy. Were you surprised the way it played out? And sorry for asking, but if Devontae's there, are you taking Devontae Smith? As thrilled as you are to get Toney, where were you in regards to how that kind of played itself out?
Listen, I'm really happy the way it worked out. First off, we got a player I'm very excited about bringing in here and coaching. This guy brings a lot of life to the building instantly. He's got a great skill set to develop. You know, in terms of him not being a household name, I mean, I know in my house, my son Sean was telling me every day, hey, Dad, you got to go get the joystick. So, you know, right. I guess Sean was a little bit on point with it right there. But this is a guy that we've all been watching throughout the course of last season and throughout the draft process, evaluating his tape. He definitely brings a lot of excitement to what you see on tape. But we got to give him to our system, really get
him
going.
Well, look, Urban Meyer said he was crestfallen that you took him. You know, and he didn't coach him. Of course, he knows the program. But he said he was beyond upset that Toney wasn't there 5 picks later. Not that that validates, you know, the pick, but, you know, for a guy that is well-regarded like Urban to say what he said about a kid that he doesn't draft, you know, I think made Giant fans feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, listen, I got a lot of texts instantly from a lot of coaches around the league, you know, basically hitting me up saying, hey, man, he was our guy. We were waiting to get him right there. A lot of guys behind us were hoping he snuck on through. We didn't think he was going to be there, frankly, you know, back where we traded to. So we're very fortunate when he came to us.
As you know, most Giant fans hate the Philadelphia Eagles. What was your reaction when you saw they jumped you in draft order and took a guy who, not necessarily you would have taken, but certainly a guy that a lot of Giant fans were thinking about taking if he was there?
Listen, there were a lot of really good players that were taken this year, high in the first round like every year. Look, our job is to evaluate all the players in the draft and know we're going to take them. In terms of someone, you know, trading and jumping ahead of us, look, that's what you can do. That's what everybody trades. Everyone looks to make moves to kind of acquire players. That is what it is. It doesn't really, you know, phase us at all. It's not something that really raised our blood pressure at all. To me, it was just more part of the process in terms of someone jumped us at the same time we were on calls with, you know, different teams. And the trade came our way with Chicago. We thought it was a good move for the business, and we went forward with it.
Were you and Dave Gettleman in lockstep on how to attack this first round? Because I know sitting here for a few weeks, Giant fans are thinking, maybe if one of the corners are there, if Patrick Surtain's there, maybe a linebacker. You and him, and obviously everyone else in the organization, was there kind of this common thought on how to attack the first round, or was there a lot of healthy debate on how to approach what to go after, depending on who's there?
Well, you work through all the scenarios leading up to the draft. And where we were sitting initially at number 11, you know, there's a lot of things that can change in front of you and a lot of moves that can be made. So, you know, you anticipated the first three being quarterbacks based on, you know, some of the moves that were made. And then you start factoring other things. Okay, is it four or five quarterbacks taken before you? Who does that push back? Different teams take different players. You know, does Sewell go before Chase? What is it? And how does that change different teams in terms of how the other players unfold? Look, we are as a team right now, we're just looking to add the best player, okay, at whatever position it was. There was a healthy mix of guys offensively and defensively. There were some good corners, good receivers. We took one of each, and there were actually multiple corners in the draft. There were linemen that were available early on. You didn't know how it was going to shake out. So our job is really just to be ready. And then we talk about different trade scenarios, what we're willing to move back for. And again, when you're approached, you kind of just name your price. You make sure it works out, you know, to favor your team in the future. And this one did for us. It was a good move.
You mentioned the linemen that were available. Guys did not take a lineman in this draft. Are you comfortable right now with the way this offensive line is presently constituted?
Listen, I'm very excited about working with the guys on our roster right now. Guys have been working hard, making a lot of grounds mentally. Can't wait to get them back in the building, get working, and really start making some ground. And really, training camps where the competition truly starts. So, listen, the answer is really you're looking to always add talent at any position. There were definitely linemen that we had evaluated as high players, you know, in different rounds. You may say, was it a first-round guy, second-round, third-round guy? We had guys at every step. Every time we were making a pick, there was at least one lineman we were discussing at different points. Sometimes they could take in a few picks ahead of you, but we're very happy with all the players we had because you really just have the discussion point in terms of, okay, here's the five to six guys we're talking about in the range of the pick we're at right now as it's unfolding. And then more often than not, you watch those guys in the conversation get taken right off the board in front of you. It's funny how that happens. You may have three guys and there's, you know, three picks to go and one, two, three, they go in a row and you better have number four ready to go, you know, as you pick.
Talking to Joe Judge, head coach of the New York Giants. You know, it's an interesting year this year. It's kind of a make or break year for your quarterback. I happen to be a huge fan of his, you know, surrounded by some people who don't necessarily feel the same way, you know, based on his career thus far. But as the head coach, seeing how he developed under your system, under your watch, under your coaches and tutelage, give Giant fans an idea of where you are right now with Danny and how close you think he is to being where you need him to be to have a record that is that goes along with the hard work you guys put in and that you expect this year.
First of all, there is no finish line for any player in terms of their development. So, look, we're going to let Daniel continue to develop one day at a time. I'm very pleased with the progress he made last year. You know, you really watched the way this guy played throughout the different times of the year, not having a spring with this new system, not having a training camp and preseason games to really go ahead and get his feet wet with it. You know, there were a lot of lumps we took as a team early last year, and that is what it is. We have to play better. The fans deserve better than what we put out there early last year. But I was very pleased with the progress Daniel made throughout the season. You know, one thing I really learned about Daniel is he's a tough dude. You know, and you got a tough quarterback standing in the huddle, you got 10 other sets of eyes going to look at you and know that you're going to give them confidence. So I'm excited about working with Daniel, excited about working with Mike, all right, and Clayton as well. You know, all the quarterbacks on our roster, I'm excited to get them back in the building.
He definitely cut down on the fumbles last year, but for you in year three with a lot of talent around him, I mean, I think you and Dave Gettleman have done a great job supplying that, whether it was in free agency with Kenny Golladay, adding a speed wide receiver in the first round, and just getting Saquon Barkley back. He's got weapons all over the place, but what area does Daniel Jones need to improve in the most, in your opinion?
Oh, look, as a complete player, we're going to let this guy keep developing. Listen, there's going to be certain games we're going to ask him to focus more on one area than the other based on the game plan. So we got to have him have a complete game to keep on just improving. But I'm pleased with the progress he's made. I love the way he comes to work every day. I love the way the players in the locker room respond to this guy and see him compete. So, look, I'm not big on putting, you know, expectations out there in the public and let everyone have some kind of a goal finish line to trace. All right, I talk very openly with Daniel, okay, man to man about where I think he is and where he needs to go. And I'll keep those conversations between us, but I'm very excited about the progress he's making.
Saquon, of course, is such a big part of your potential offense. Give John fans an idea of where he is health-wise. Full 100% to go this summer? Are we going to, you know, treat him with kid gloves a little bit? And where is he in the recovery process?
Well, I'll tell you what, I couldn't be more pleased with how he works every day. And I'm not a doctor. I'll trust our training staff and the medical professionals to tell us when he's ready to go. I just know every day he comes to work and does everything he's asked to do, and he's getting better day by day. Now, when they say he's clear to go, that's when we'll put him on the field. But I want to make sure he's ready to go 100% before we throw him out there.
Do you expect there to be restrictions on him in training camp, in the preseason, maybe even at the start of the year?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you a timetable on that because we don't really have a hard answer ourselves. But I'd say that's not, you know, out of the ordinary for any player who's coming off an injury at different levels of their rehab to have restrictions one way or another throughout training camp. So he won't be the only one that we may or may not have to monitor throughout training camp. But, look, he's doing everything he can to get himself back as fast as possible.
I wonder for you, Joe, having been through it for a full year as the head coach, and not just any head coach of, you know, the New York Giants, which is different. I don't care what anyone says. It is a different job than most jobs in the league because of, you know, the media and because of the fan base. And we all think we know more than anybody else. And, you know, the Mob's never lost a single game. What, when you look back on your first year, what was surprising to you? What, as you kind of handicap your first year through it, does anything stick out that you weren't ready for, and I don't mean in a lack of preparation way, that surprised you, that was more difficult than you thought it might be?
You know, I thought our guys really responded the right way. I think one of the things that came up with the situation of COVID, not having fans in the stadium, there were some things you just couldn't prepare for, and there was no way of anticipating. Like, guys, there's things that, you know, you wouldn't understand unless you're sitting there. When you'd be on the road and come out of the locker room before a game, you come out to complete silence and stand there for 11 minutes in silence,
right,
waiting for the other team to come out and the anthem to start. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal, and that doesn't affect how you play, but there were things like that along the way, you know, that we would just sit there on the headsets talking, saying, man, this is strange. Or the first game of the year, there were points, you know, we're playing Pittsburgh and there was an injury on the field and they cut off the artificial noise and you could hear every word being said on both sidelines.
Wow.
You know, I can remember playing Cleveland this year. Same thing. You know, there was an argument over a penalty at one point, and I could hear, you know, Thomas McGay, he and Mike Prefer having a full conversation, sharing their opinion on each other, you know, across the field. And it's kind of some things that normally don't happen. So I thought there were some things like that that you just had to kind of get used to best you can. We tried to replicate it in practice as much as we could. I thought the players really did a nice job of responding to the situations.
Did the change of offensive line coaching impact the team at all, impact the line and more? And was that situation a surprise for you? Because usually, you know, coaching changes will happen at the end of season. Sure, you may change your staff a little bit, but obviously that happened in the middle of the year. How about that situation?
Look, I'm going to do whatever it takes for the team to be successful. So, you know, I hold coaches accountable, same as we hold players accountable. And we'll make whatever move we have to keep this team moving forward at all times. So in terms of surprises, I mean, look, there's always things that you don't anticipate before a season. But when a move has to be made, you make the move.
Did you have fun being the head coach of the New York Giants? Was it enjoyable?
You guys, I have a lot of fun. I have fun every day. And, you know, look, I don't always come out there and show every angle of my personality in every interview I do. But the fun is when the players are here. Okay, that's when the fun is. The fun is competing with the players, getting ready, seeing them really develop, seeing them, you know, do something you've taught them and having success on the field. Look, the guys are the fun part, okay? Sitting in a building sometimes as coaches in the offseason without players in it, that's sometimes when it really kind of drags on out. But when the players come in there, that's when the energy comes in the building. That's when it really gets
fun. Well, you know what wasn't fun? Sitting there on Sunday night at week 17 watching the Philadelphia Eagles lay down.
We're not doing that again.
That wasn't fun.
Come on.
That wasn't fun.
We're not going. No, I got to put my foot down. We're not doing that.
Did you ever think about that, or are you completely over it? Like, whatever, it was the end of the season. We won six games, move on. Or is that something that still you think about?
Yeah, look, I'm completely on to this year. And in terms of last year, we got to do better ourselves. We're not going to put our destiny in anyone else's hands. Hands. So we're going to keep on moving on.
Listen, there's a lot of games you could have won. Every Giant fan knows that. But you've done something remarkable, and it's an intangible. You know, New York City loves you, and that's a rare thing. You know, 6-10 is not a lovable record. You know that. But the Giant fan loves you. Listen, you know, I'm a 50-year-old guy. I've been around a long enough time. I've never seen that before from any other team here. And it says a lot about, I think, your personality and the appearance of just pure competency.
And where the organization was.
Yeah, so it's what you've done, and you can't try to do it. You've done something that's like mystical Giant fans adore you, and the Giants were 6-10. I can't imagine if you'd ever have to buy a cup of coffee again if you guys go 9-7. I mean, it's really remarkable how the Giant fan base, and I wonder if that love is tangible to you, because there were no fans there. You didn't experience 80,000 people at MetLife Stadium cheering for the New York Giants, or are you booing when something goes wrong? So I wonder for you, are you in touch with how the fan base currently feels about you and the job you did last year?
You know, look, first off, all the interactions I've had with the fans at this point have been awesome. I mean, I absolutely love them. I love the area. I'm so proud to be here. I really am. Yeah, I can't wait till there's fans in the stadium. We've talked about it a lot throughout the year. That's something I don't know that fans truly understand how much we rely on them at the stadium. It truly is. I mean, look, the reward for all your work is to be able to go out there in front of 80,000 on Sunday and feel that energy. I mean, that's really the fun part of the game, to go out there. And look, you're in New York. You don't take care of business. Yeah, they buy a ticket. They got every right to boo you. That's part of the deal right there. You know what I mean? And look, sometimes you go on the road and the energy from the visiting crowd, you know, and the negativity is enough, you know, to make you feel at home as well, too, in a good way. I mean, in terms of it's us versus the world. But I can't wait till, you know, the fans are really in the stadium, to be honest with you. Look, honestly, with the pandemic and stuff last year, there was some limited interaction that I could have personally in terms of getting out in the community and being around. We're very shut in during the season. Things are opening up now more. Me and my family are getting out a lot more in the community. You know, I'm really enjoying getting over to see the city more and different parts of Jersey. That's been awesome. In terms of, you know, how fans may feel about me, to be honest with you, you know, I don't know that anyone ever wants to be disliked. It's more important for me to be respected. And I think the only thing that they can respect around here is if you work hard and give them something to be proud of. So, you know, like me or not, I'd rather be respected, but I got a lot of passion, a lot of love for these fans here. I can't wait to get them to the stadium.
I think the expectations for last year were competence. Like, we want to see the New York Giants look like a competent franchise. You clearly brought that. The expectations this year are to win. Does it feel different? Because I think that's the expectation of all Giant fans. That's 10-7, 11-6, which, by the way, is weird to say because it's a 17-game season. But do you sense that? Do you feel that last year was about, you know, turning this thing around, making the program look competent? Now it's about winning the NFC East. Do you feel that?
Well, look, we've got our own internal expectations. I think it's important we talk to our players all the time about, you know, managing those expectations on the outside and making sure that, you know what you have to work on a daily basis. To me, it's about really being process-oriented. We talk about that. We all know we want to have success. We all know that in this league, there's really only one game that, you know, defines success, and that's the truth. One team successful is 31 teams fail every year. So to say anything else, that's just the reality of this game. You play for the ultimate prize in team sports, and if you fall short, you got to get back to work and make sure you find a way to get it done. So, but we want to be process-oriented and know that what it takes for us to be successful every day and have guys that show up and are very committed to doing what it takes to be successful on a daily basis.
Before we let you go, I just wonder, just relationship-wise, do you stay in touch with Belichick? Do you ever, pick up the phone, just throw ideas off him? Does he reach out to you? And if not him, do you have a coaching mentor, a guy that you can call kind of offline, off the record, and just throw things by when you're experiencing some things for, you know, for the first time?
Yeah, you know, first off, it's a small league. So you end up having a circle of guys you really trust and bounce ideas off of throughout, you know, the time. You know, how are you handling this in the offseason? What are you planning on, you know, vet minicamp? How are you handling your rookies coming? Things of that nature. So there's a small group of guys, and to me it's about people you trust, which obviously fall on people you've worked with and have gone through some battles with that you know, how they truly are. You know, outside of that, in terms of the coaching mentor, yeah, absolutely. I've had the opportunity to work with some great coaches. Look, I check back in notes I took when I was an assistant all the time, you know, what other coaches may have said in staff meetings, how they handle different situations. And look, I reach out to my college coaches. I reach out to, you know, different position coaches I've been with. I reach out to a lot of players too, to be honest with you. I talk to guys I used to coach in the past and just talk about maybe things we've done. Hey, how did you really like this? You know, is this something worth doing again? Things of that nature. But look, I use any resource I can find. As long as it's someone I trust and I'm going to get honest feedback from, I'll use anyone I can that I think is going to benefit the team.
Well, listen, we appreciate your time. Congrats on the draft. You know, fingers crossed for Giant fans. It turns out the way you guys hope. Look forward to meeting you one day soon. Hopefully we'll be able to come out this summer during camp and see you face-to-face. But we do appreciate your time and wish you the best of luck. And thanks for coming on for a few minutes today.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate it. Enjoyed it, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.